you, sir.
What am I looking for? Good.
I'm sorry I'm late. The traffic.
Oh, oh yeah. Where are you coming from?
Granada Hills.
Oh, okay. Ooh, yikes.
Yeah. Are we on?
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You got sorry for being late.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm Michael.
No, no, you can.
Hey, Michael.
Well, we can flip
you
this.
You are.
I'm sorry.
Casey. Hi.
We can nice put this like this. And
okay. I should have worn my shorts, man.
Yeah, it's like I usually wear like a blazer. Yeah, it's yours. Yeah. I usually wear like a blazer and get it all dressed up. But I was like, it's too hot for that.
Yeah, like the sucker tea girl.
But yeah. But yeah. But you look great, though.
Thank you.
Yes,
it was worth it. You look pretty hot.
It was worth it, so.
I looked at you on Facebook, I think, so.
Oh.
Oh, well, I remember last time she was on, you were, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
All right. What are our topics tonight? I got so much news, Mark.
We're going to talk about what you guys do. We're going to talk about pantyhose. We're going to talk about dressing up.
I think so.
Yeah.
The festival. Yeah. I was going to bring you some hose, and yeah. I was down Balboa Boulevard.
Hey, Michael, can you check the mic real quick?
Yeah.
Is your height good? You want to hire it?
Hello? How's that? Okay? Awesome. Yeah.
I did wear these, for, of course.
Yeah, we're going to show that
holy
off.
Holy Toledo.
Oh, look at that.
What's the rating of the show? Double X, triple X?
We have had some full frontal nudity. We've had all sorts of things.
This is very exciting.
We've had male and female full frontal nudity, but don't tell.
Really?
Anybody. I was just saying, don't tell anybody around here. But what's going to happen?
what does it say on the door? The lactating room?
Yeah, this used to be the Nerdist school studios.
The Nerdist. Okay,
but they rebranded it. And now it's a feminist theater.
It's a what?
A feminist theater.
Oh, okay. That's pretty
cool. That's why, the bathroom, all the tampons.
Well, there's four
are
feminists in here right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just
I'm on board.
Okay, good. We're four feminists. Okay, so we'll talk about feminism. You know me. I don't do topics. We'll see where the conversation
flows. We'll just let it flow.
Yes, we will. And with the two of you and the sexual energy in the room, I think we'll...
I know. I'm so excited. Actually, oh, man, I was so tired this afternoon.
Yeah, I think...
too much tequila.
All right. Am I in frame, Casey?
Are you in frame?
Yeah, see the little...
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't have my glasses on, so it's probably better to check with...
Michael.
Hold on.
I'll wing it. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. Ready when you are, Pete. You ready?
Awesome. Yeah, we're rolling.
Okay. Give me a second.
I'm not really hearing anything through here. Should I be? Do I need to be?
Oh, we can turn it up. You're three, so is that better? Yes.
That is definitely better. Thank you.
How's yours?
No, I can hear.
Okay.
It's good. Yeah.
Just down a nudge.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. And if you're listening on Renegade Radio, it's Friday the 13th, so... Happy Friday the 13th and a full moon. For some reason, when there's a full moon, I'm suddenly very attractive to women. I don't know what, I think I'm a werewolf. I don't know what's going on, but it's a Dark Mark show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. Hannah, my co-host, is not here tonight. She will be back next week. She says hi to everybody, and she has some opinions about what we'll be talking about tonight. But tonight we have two guests that have been on before, but not together, and it's going to be great to see them too. There's already a sexual energy in the room. There's a, and with these two, they're all about sexual energy. Right there, she's pulling the phallic shaped microphone over to her mouth. That's Casey T Girl.
Hi there.
Hi, Casey. I'd say you look fabulous.
Aww.
And I think we might get a shot of your whole outfit later on. But you look great. How you been?
Oh, just wonderful. Thanks for inviting me. It's nice to go on camera and not have to shave down like a hairless chihuahua for once.
Really? Yeah, I know. I have the same problem. I think this guy does too, because this is... Have you ever met Michael?
No, I have not.
No, I don't think we've ever
met. You know him by reputation, though.
He is
the guy who started the Nylon Girls.
Yep.
And the man who started the Hollywood...
The L.A. Fetish Film
LA
Festival.
L.A. Fetish Film Festival.
Yeah.
And among other things, the daddy that they warned you about, Michael Simmons, right there.
Hey.
Yeah. It's filmmaker, good. Promoter. We're going to talk about... You got a lot of stuff coming.
Got a lot. Oh, my God. It's been a really rough 2 years, but, you know, when things get tough, you just got to, like, just grab it and go.
Push.
You know, push. Right, yeah, and right. Not give up and dealing with a little bit of depression.
Right.
Had a great talk with my sister this morning. Really helped.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
And seeing
this
lovely woman and her, she's at your request, is wearing nylon, so that's got to help.
Black lace top thigh high.
I
am
okay.
So upset I forgot that pantyhose. We may have to go to Ralph's afterwards.
Ooh.
I don't know if you're busy, but...
sounds good.
Know, that's my first pass. But
wow. Anyway, jeez. Before we get started, before these guys start fucking, let me just do our sponsors really quick here. Audible, we are sponsored by Audible. I'm going to Portland at the beginning of next month. I'm going to be performing at the Portland Comedy Festival. So I want to load up on audiobooks, which I recommend you do on Audible. This is free. You get a free membership, 30-day trial, free book, audiobook, whatever you want. They got everything from Shakespeare to Smut. They got all sorts of stuff.
S to
all
S.
The bestsellers, all the books that you love, all the classics. And they have two Audible originals. This is something we didn't have last time you were on the show.
Right.
Audible originals. They have Alien 3. William Gibson, the cyberpunk writer, did an alternative version. They got Michael Biehn, Lance Henriksen, and the cast to act it out. You can get that free with a book and another Audible original. Go to audibletrial.com/DMS. audibletrial.com/DMS. Stan Lee wrote a book, an audio book, and that's one of the audiobooks you can get, and or one of the Audible originals you can get. And Kate McKinnon, she and her sister collaborated on a play. They got everything from Shakespeare to Smut. Load up if you're traveling, if you're on the road, if you're driving to work, listen to an audiobook. And also, Doomie's Home Cooking is our sponsor. The best vegan food in LA. You've ever been to Doomie's?
Never been there, but I've heard about it for years.
Oh, it's the best. Oh,
yeah.
We went there a couple weeks ago. We always had fun fries. I had chili cheese fries. They have,
Are you vegan?
No.
No.
Do I look vegan? Come on. But my Hannah's vegan.
Are you Venetian?
But the thing is, you don't have to be vegan. The stuff, if I slid you the chicken parmesan sandwich, you would never know it.
Yeah.
The shrimp po' boy, forget about it.
The older I get, the more I really got to watch my diet. I'm dealing with, everybody who knows me knows I have a big toe in type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
And, right. And,
well, you want to eat a Doomie's sparingly, but it's good stuff.
It's estimated in the United States in the year 2025,
right.
80 million Americans will have type 1 and type 2.
Okay.
And type 2 is more common. And it's pretty much, I think, connected to diet and exercise.
Well, that's a great,
That's a depressing opener, huh?
That's a great testimony for Doomie's Home Cooking. But anyway, if you're looking for a treat, a cheat day once in a while, go to 1253 Vine Street in Hollywood, right on the corner of Fountain and Vine, or Culver City, where they have Sunday brunch now, or Toronto, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, it's the best vegan food you ever had. They have Mexican food. It's great. As I say, for you, I would say once in a while, not right, not all the time, but a cheat day, everybody's entitled to one.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Cheat day. I
cheat
like
day,
it.
Cheat day. Now, no, nothing to cheating around here. This is Casey. Now, I haven't seen you in about a year. What's been going on with you?
Oh, it's been more than a year, honey.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But lots of stuff. Been doing my shooting. You know, I'm a sex worker, as you know.
Yeah, please. Yeah, we know that.
And a few weeks ago, I actually did a shoot with Radius Dark, who's a great legendary T-Girl producer for Groovy Productions. It'll be on tgirl40.com. There's my shameless plug.
Okay.
Did a solo shoot. Like I said, I think it was 4 weeks ago tonight.
Okay.
Which is a lot of fun. Solo shoots are tough because, you know, you're all by yourself. It's 10 o'clock in a hotel room, and you got to fluff it up and get ready to go.
Yeah, I was going to say. Now, it's better with a partner is what you're saying.
Oh, yes. they differentiate solos versus hardcore. I know hardcore sounds kind of hard, but in reality, we just use it as a terminology for when it's more than one person.
Right, right.
So solos, you really have to get it on yourself. You load up your phone with some porn, you know. So when they say time to get hard, you know, fluff it up. You fluff it up, and then you shoot a couple of videos and shoot a couple of photos, and then start all over again.
Shoot a couple loads, and
not so easy anymore.
Really? Okay. Now I was gonna say, do you have medical help? Do you have pills? Do you have things?
Oh yes, there's a whole ritual when you're leading up to for a T-girl, especially a mature one like myself. Mm-hmm. You cycle down off of your hormones. You cycle up on some testosterone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't actually. This is why we have you, because we want to know how to do this and how this gets done.
And then you chop up your Viagra pills for me into 50 milligram doses, and you know I shot from 10 p.m. till 2 a.m. all by myself. So it's get hard, get soft.
Wait a second. Now this sounds like something I did last night. Now for 4 hours you were masturbating, and what else were you doing?
Oh, first I have to ask, did you do it by yourself, or was it a hardcore experience?
Or was it with Chatterbait?
You know me. I'm not into porn. I masturbate to Lifetime movies, but let's say I was. I was alone last night, but I had company before that I didn't need a fluffing up. But anyway, for 4 hours you're masturbating?
Yeah, I mean, you're doing two different setups, both photos and videos, two different wardrobe changes. Okay. And what you're going to end up doing is you're going to switch between photos and video as you strip down from your wardrobe.
Right.
And then for each one, you have to get hard for the photos or the video. But mm-hmm. then, of course, you know, he resets up the lights, you take something off, so it's constantly... Soft for me, soft, hard, soft, hard, soft, hard.
Right.
And if you start to have trouble, you break out I have an iPhone and I load some porn on there to get me excited.
Yeah. Now, who do you like? Who turns you on? I was going to ask you that question even before.
I wanted to ask that too. If you don't mind sharing.
Oh, no. Oh, please. For example, in the T-girl world, I love Morgan Bailey and Kylie Maria.
Okay.
Mos Def, Jessica Drake in what I would call the mainstream world, mm-hmm. even though Jessica does, I believe she does do T-girl trans porn too.
Right.
Don't quote, I know she comes to all of our events. She's a big supporter.
Right.
So I love her. Lindsay Banks, Banksy is another one. She's a Pornhub girl.
Yeah, check her out. Yeah. Just to say, I jerked off to Banksy. That'd be kind of cool.
And then, she's great.
Yeah, like Venus Lux. You know, people like.
Oh,
that.
I love Venus.
Oh
Lux.
Yeah, we've had Venus in
so
studio.
Cute.
She's great. And but that's the thing. I was weird because that's another question I had. See, she's answering all my questions. She's got them all.
Trust me,
there's nothing you can't ask her. She's great.
Dirty minds.
Yes, we got three, possibly four dirty minds in the studio.
I
don't know about
those. I should have brought those tights.
You'll be going to Rouse afterwards. So, yeah, it'll be a whole.
They're cheap there too.
I'm sure they are.
Oh, yes.
Do they come to the egg?
That's legs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they come in.
I just remember shopping with my grandmother, and we'll get back to you. I just remember shopping with my grandmother, like when I was a kid, and they had the little. That we were in Rouse. We were in Rouse, and she was getting the little pantyhose that goes in the eggs. You love pantyhose.
It's a fetish. There's not much question about it. And tights and nylon and, you know, we would probably have a blast together if we ever hung out.
Well, anyway,
It's a thing. You know, I'm kind of, to be honest, I'm kind of outgrowing it a little.
Wait a second.
A little.
Mr. Nylon Girls?
Not a lot. Well, let me tell you what's going on.
Well, before you do that, Casey, could you stand up and show them your nylons?
Of course.
Yes. Oh, I got the camera here. Let's see what's going on here. Look at that.
Is it inappropriate to touch?
No.
You're outgrowing the nylons now, or what?
Oh God, look at these panties.
Maybe you're more into panties than nylons now.
Can you turn around?
Of course. Mm. These are actually. Oh, I got another mic.
Look at your tummy, so cute.
She's in great shape. There's no question.
You are.
These aren't actually panties.
Huh?
These aren't actually panties.
What are they?
This is a gaffe. And if you know theater, the way I said that, theater.
Theater.
If, back in the day when all of the parts were played by males, even the female parts, they would have to wear a gaff to hide their maleness.
Right. I was going to say, I was looking for your maleness.
Exactly. And so,
You're gaffed up right now?
I am definitely gaffed up.
Can you stand up again?
You want to be the gaffer, huh?
Yeah.
I think he wants to be the fluffer, but we'll see what happens. Look at that.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like you have an incredible pubic mound.
I apologize because I always think about the microphone.
She's blushing now.
Right.
Well, no.
Do you have an incredible pubic mound?
No, not at all. I'm a tucker. I tuck my secret specialness, as they call it in the business.
Yeah. Right.
Just because. For me, I like to blend in public, and you know, because I know it turns guys on, some guys, to think about, you know, a bulge underneath a dress, for example, in public. But you know, when I'm walking through Ralph's or something, I just want to, you know, be a part of the society.
Is that uncomfortable, the tucking?
It can be if you get hard while you're tucked and you try and sit down and you sit on it, and it's not like painful, but it's not fun.
Yeah, I mean, we've all adjusted and things like that. Mm-hmm. So are you still into nylons?
I'm sorry, what?
You're into nylons now?
Well, those are nylons, not tights, but they'll work. Anyway, but I wanted to tell you something, though. I have some news.
Oh, please. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
In 2011, I started the LA Fetish Film Festival.
Yes.
And it actually started the year before, but there was a big blunder on one of the partners. Mm-hmm. And you might know him, but I'm not going to name names. And then, you know, Kat DeCure.
Of course.
Kat, yeah. She and I are like top best friends.
Okay.
And she produced about 5 years of it with me.
Okay.
And the problem is, as we all know, in the last 9 or 10 years, the nightlife in L.A. has suffered badly.
It was really at its peak about 9, 10 years ago, which is when I met you. And I've been telling people about that, Club Hell and all that stuff.
Oh, were in the winning video Chelsea did.
Yeah,
and Tony Danger, right?
Tony Danger directed it. Now, I just want to, because I want Casey to understand in our audience, the L.A. Fetish Film Festival is... It's erotically charged films, but not necessarily pornographic.
No, I made a very distinct choice. Nothing against porn. Everybody loves porn. But I felt that we had to take it more to a higher artistic level. And I was, what's the word, inundated by so much fetish porn.
Right.
And people really don't understand about fetishes because I would get a girl in fishnets with a pink wig, and they would say it was fetish. And it's not fetish. I mean, you know, that's a girl in a pink wig with whatever. And it really got tough because people are very confused by fetish in the United States. And
well, could you please define it so that we can get some clarity on this?
Well, technically, from what I understand...
From Michael Simmons' point of view... You are the expert. What is a fetish?
Technically, from what I understand, fetish is not the objectification of a human.
Okay.
It's the objectification of an object.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and I've read this back and forth, and that's about it. You've got a pipe there. You will meet someone in your life who will have a fetish for that pipe.
I'm sure. I think I have.
And I'm not sure what that thing is hanging off it, but, you know.
Well, we've spanked some people over there and done some things.
It's interesting, Michael, real quick, because I thought about this when I was getting ready for the show, because there's a convention conference, I'm not sure, but FetCon, which fetish conference or fetish convention. And they invite T-girls, transgender male-to-female girls, as part of... being part of FetCon, it's almost like our genre, in their eyes, becomes a fetish.
Well, and that's the other thing. Now, I was going to ask, so what about foot fetish?
That's a classic fetish.
Yeah, but that's objectifying a part of a person.
Technically, it's about the high heels. It's not the foot fetish.
Even not always.
Foot fetish is huge. I'm going to get criticized
There's fetishes for wrinkly soles.
Exactly.
You got people that worship your feet.
Oh, yeah. And I, I mean, fetishes. I do phone sex, so I get a lot of fetish calls. And for example, I have Mr. Feathers calls me. That's his handle.
Tell me about Mr. Feathers.
And Mr. Feathers is into sneezing. He wants to know how I sneeze.
What?
He wants me to sneeze for him. He wants me to have sometimes I'll have a feather waiting, some pepper waiting, and he'll want me to go through the act of causing myself to sneeze.
Over the phone.
Over the phone.
Now, does he like dainty sneezes? Or is he like, ha-choo!
Well, that was one of his first questions for me. He was trying to classify me.
So
he said, what kind of sneeze do you have? Do you have a dainty sneeze or do you have a guffawing sneeze?
Yeah.
What makes you sneeze? So his fetish is, I'm not sure if it's T-girls in particular, but at least female identifying who sneeze and how they sneeze and making them sneeze. Mm-hmm. That's his fetish.
Very interesting.
Wow. Have you ever heard of that one?
No, and but it fits right in with the common public beliefs of fetishes.
Right.
Even though technically it's not supposed to be a human that's fetished, it's like a shoe, a bra, a panties, whatever. But those rules have kind of been like tossed out.
It's because, like I said, I'm trying to think. I mean, you know, I'm trying to think because I mean, anything could be a fetish.
Absolutely.
But any body part, I've heard people talk about armpits as a fetish. I've heard people, your biceps are. I'm sure people worship those.
Oh, I get one of the things I get asked to do because I'm pretty cut and fit. I'll get asked to do flex shows, flexing my muscles and so forth.
That's a fetish.
Yeah,
is it? Or I mean,
well,
because it's not an inanimate object; it's you.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's more of a, I think, I don't want to say fetish is a subset, but whatever turns you, if something turns you on visually, I think, because I think it has such a visual component. I mean, it does have a tactile, with pantyhose, I have gentlemen who I entertain who they love to dress in pantyhose because they like the tactile feel of it. Mm-hmm. So they don't mind if I'm not even wearing pantyhose, but they like the tactile feel of it.
Sure.
So it's... Yeah, I can understand what you're saying about it. It's, you know, technically maybe it's an object, but there's definitely this wide array of like certain picadillos, for lack of a better word, that turn people on. And it's their thing, whether it's sneezing, feet, pantyhose, whatever it may
be. What's the besides the sneezing, which is great, and we had Mr. Cyan here about a month ago, so I heard about some other fetishes that were kind of, ooh. But what is the most unusual fetish that you've come across besides the sneezing? She was talking about some guy had a fetish for watches.
Oh, watches. Interesting.
Yeah.
I guess the one is the cannibal fetish.
Tell me about that.
And I don't know if I pronounce it correctly. It's something like vorophilia, like V-O-E-R-A, philia. Mm-hmm. I'm probably mispronounced. Basically, it's the fantasy, the fetish of eating somebody, not actual cannibalism.
Right.
But it's that thought of going through a role play whereby, you know, I had a client who wanted me to do that role play with him, and I go to his hotel room.
Pretended to eat you. At first, I arrive,
I don't know he wants to eat me, and then he slowly brings it out, and then I have to kind of beg for him not to eat me.
Funny. I love it.
He trusses me up and oils me up with vegetable oil and
salad dressing.
And puts accoutrements like celery and carrots.
Carrots
around
me.
Funny.
Seasoning, a little Mrs. Dash, a little salt and pepper.
And my thing is, I have to go, oh, please don't eat me. Please. I don't have much meat on my bones. You want someone bigger than me. There's more of a meal.
So funny.
I hope that guy doesn't beat us. We got plenty of meat on our bones.
But it has nothing to do with actual cannibalism.
No,
it's the whole fantasy of
it's role playing.
And does he I hate to be indelicate, but does he finish? Does he get
aroused? At some point during this, as I'm on the table with, you know, oil on me and an apple in my mouth.
Right.
And he jerks off and he comes and that's the end of the role play.
Yeah. You're on a plate and
in that case it was a big table. He didn't have a plate, but I would think in his mind's eye, I probably was on a plate.
I'm sure,
big platter, you know, just like a turkey, you know, Thanksgiving turkey.
Wow, that's quite a Thanksgiving turkey.
I got some news, though, going on.
Well, what's, of all the films that you got, what was the most unusual fetish you got?
Wow.
What was something that surprised even you? And I know you got a dirty mind.
Thanks.
no, it's a compliment.
I know.
On the show. If you're not on the show, you don't have a dirty mind.
We all have a dirty mind.
Yeah.
But There was, I think I had a really famous adult filmmaker named James Avalon. You may know who he is, James Avalon. And he's older than me. He's shot a million videos. He's gifted. And he did a short film where I think the girls used like jelly and some things like that on their bodies.
Right.
And it was, you know, that sounds pretty common. But to see it done really, really well by a pro, you know, a talented artist, it was good.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Peanut butter jelly time.
I think it actually, he won the festival twice out of 6 or 7 years. So Susie Q Williams won one year.
Right.
You won with Josie that year.
I was in her video,
So, and we stopped the festival. Just to be really honest, is that we could never broke even. We never went.
Well, that was one of my questions: is how do you make money on this?
You don't.
I know. I know you had the club nights, and you probably made some money on that. But
I like, you know, Parrish, right?
Yeah,
yeah, we're real good friends, and he bust his buns to break even for years.
Yeah,
and he's had a lot of events that didn't turn the corner. And he and I are good friends, and we've talked a lot about it and combining forces, but we could never really find, like, finding the right venue, then finding the parking, then this and that. Yeah. And it just is like, we had, I'm not going to complain about the stock room, because I love the stock room.
Right.
But their old location, they moved about a year and a half ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it had no parking.
None.
None.
Great space, no parking.
Yeah, and they had a secret 25 spaces in the back, and they let us park there, but there were like at least another 200 cars that had to be dealt with. And I know people that pulled up and left. You know, no parking.
Yeah.
And it's a big issue. I'm not here to complain, though. I got some news, though.
Well, you know what? We might as well hear this news.
Drum roll, please.
One of the most fun things to come out of the festival, because the festival itself was just incredibly stressful.
Yeah.
Really bad.
But on the other side where I was, it was fun.
Yeah. Well, pardon me, I invented the nylon girls.
Right.
And that comes straight out of a fetish, and I might have some pictures. And they wore tights and hose and suspenders and black bras and bowlers, high heels. They almost look like the female droogs out of Clockwork Orange.
A little bit.
And that was part of the inspiration. And there's another inspiration, but I don't know. You know, I worked with the group called The Tubes.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. And I worked with them maybe 30 years ago. Okay.
Yeah.
They were huge in the Bay Area.
Sure.
Where they started, I think.
Yeah.
And their female dancers wore pantyhose with suspenders.
Yeah.
And a deck of cards, like a five-hand poker, right over their pubic hair.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and that's where, actually,
that's before they became mainstream.
Yeah, I made the movie American Fetish.
Right.
And that is in that movie. It's a mainstream movie. And that lost money, too.
Yeah.
But I have news, though. I shot off and on for years, since 2011. I brought in the top DPs I know, photographers, videographers and stuff.
Right.
And we were shooting in HD right away on great cameras, and it's about the lenses sometimes in the in the video. And I just finished editing a 2-hour documentary about the first auditions that were done at Dungeon Corps.
Right.
Yeah. John's Place that is no longer around.
Yeah.
I just talked to him this morning about another piece of news I have. But I'm going to probably self-distribute it. I know a lot of distributors, and the most successful guys really do the little extreme genres, like extreme horror.
Right.
Like, I'm very good friends with Steve Biro, who runs Unearthed Films.
Sure.
And he's actually on a huge roll right now.
Right.
And buying up other companies. And he and I have been planning. He wants me to direct a gore porn.
Ooh,
and I don't even know what that is, you know.
Oh, you got an idea.
Yeah, I got an idea. But He's going to help me maybe distribute the Nylon Girls. We're going to go to DVD, and believe it or not, DVDs still sell in these little genres.
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
I have a few DVDs out on groobydvd.com.
Yeah.
And they still.
They sell.
They sell.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I got a stack of naughty DVDs from 10 years ago.
Right. Well,
that I never want to sell them, though. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But the Nylon Girls, it's not X-rated. There is no nudity.
Right.
It's about as tease as humanly possible. I did this specifically because we ran the festival like this. Because if you know and I know, once you involve explicit sex in a venue or something, you're under a whole nother set of laws.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, most yeah. Definitely. And the LAPD doesn't mess around.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't go to a Bar Sinister, Bordner's, and I know everybody there really well, and they got to be super careful about showing sexually explicit movies because you can't, I believe in L.A., you cannot serve alcohol in a venue where you see something X-rated.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Like, when I was driving here, I passed by the Seventh Veil,
right,
and I was like, well, if I'm going to be really late, I might as well just stop here.
Yeah, well, geez, I'm sure you've been there before.
It's fully nude dancing, and I've been in a nude dance place probably twice in 10 years, you know? And I support the sex workers big time. I think totally should be legalized and run and figured out wisely.
Well,
yeah.
Well, my friend visited me in Los Feliz, and she's like, wow, it's kind of cool. You got this clown-themed lounge down the street from your house. I'm like, it's not, and I had to tell her what Jumbo's Clown Room was. And,
right. I love Jumbo's.
Yeah,
I know all the dancers.
I went there once with a clown, but I'm not a big strip club.
Cat dances there, and Katie dances
there. Yeah, well, then I'm sure.
You know Katie Walters?
Yeah.
The contortionist.
Yes.
Did you know she just got a huge Broadway play financed?
That's great.
You got to have her on the show.
I'm glad
to. I love this person. She is gifted, and, you know, she's really good friends with Kat DeCure. They'd probably be a great couple to have on.
I think they would be.
Yeah. Yeah. And but the Nylon Girls is going to be a two-hour documentary. It's in HD that looks like it just jumps out of the screen. It's photographed beautifully, interviews. And then I have part two, then part three, and part four. And I'm looking, I'm going to push myself here. I'm looking for financing to finish editing. It's not a lot of money involved, but it's independent money rough out there.
Kickstarter or anything?
You know, I probably should do that. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I don't need a lot of money.
Right.
I mean, I just have to I'm editing it. I want to hire another editor, but it's going to take months. I'll go through Christmas on this.
Well, I mean, let me tell you something. One of the people that I was actually shocked came on, called in, and was one of my favorite directors, Hal Hartley. Who directed Henry Fool and Trust and other great movies. Mm-hmm. He called into the show because he did a Kickstarter campaign for one of his movies. So everybody's doing it.
He did
a Kickstarter campaign for the Ned Reifel, the last Henry Fool movie.
Mm-hmm.
Got it made a nice profit off it.
Steve Biro, who runs Unearth Films, got the rights to do Guinea Pig. It was originally a Japanese torture movie.
Right.
It was one Charlie Sheen called the FBI and said,
oh, yeah,
they're really killing somebody.
Right,
it was
right,
all
right, right.
It was just the FBI looked at it and said, sorry, Charlie. You know, this is not real.
No, wait a second. Did you hang out with Charlie Sheen?
No, I never.
But
he dated a woman I knew really well. But these were the two women and the cocaine-fueled madness. And remember, he kind of lost his mind.
Well, I thought you meant you're a cocaine-fueled madness.
No, his.
Okay.
I stopped doing drugs a long time ago.
I would not be here unless
we had some great coke.
Yeah.
No,
No. Casey, let me ask you now. How many guys come to you have a nylon fetish? Is that a big thing?
It's definitely a thing. I don't know percentage-wise or number, but I get it often. And it's interesting because with Michael, when you mentioned pantyhose, because you just said to me, hey, you might like you to wear some pantyhose. And I immediately go to, okay, is that nylons or is that pantyhose? Because there is a difference. I'm wearing thigh-high stockings tonight, which is different than a pantyhose fetish technically, which is the legs types, can be the legs type, suntan, you know,
yeah,
all the way up to troll top.
Yeah,
which I like. You don't see a lot anymore. I mean, I look at old movies from the 60s and 70s. Everybody's wearing that now. Nobody wears it. And I like it. I'm a legs guy. I like legs as much as anybody.
You would be surprised how many women still wear them, though. And here's the weird thing, though.
Yeah.
This is what's really kind of funny. I had my share of girlfriends. Never been married. Got real close a few times. And
He's bragging.
Well, yeah. Never got married, though. Never had any kids.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a kid. But
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love kids. I love babies. It's my favorite thing on Facebook is when people have babies. They're so cute. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But when they get about 6 or 7, you don't want them. Anyway, I would ask my girlfriends to wear hose, and they were all confused. They did not understand it. Tights, pantyhose. And yet, like, if I would spend the night with them and wake up in the morning, I'm an independent producer, so I don't have to be at work at 8.
Right.
They would have to, the dental hygienist would have to be at work at 8.
Yeah.
And she would do what I call a reverse striptease, where she would get out of the shower or whatever and then get dressed and walk around in her underwear. And I was saying, you know, thank you, God, you know, or whatever.
You like watching girls get dressed?
Oh, it's a blast. It's almost more fun than watching them get undressed. When I shot a few movies for Adam and Eve, as we all know.
Right.
And got in the AVN Hall of Fame and promptly couldn't find any more work.
Is that true?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And happened last year. Because the business has really taken a beating, you know, in the last 7 years. So that's why I'm back into the Nylon Girls. Right. I got two other things I want to talk about very briefly. I loved when my girlfriends would walk around in their lingerie. Yeah. And when I would shoot a movie for Adam and Eve, my favorite thing was when they were trying on wardrobe, not the sex.
Right.
Because you can only watch so much sex. It's like watching someone else eat a steak dinner. If you don't have the dinner, you're going to lose your appetite.
Some of the best videos people enjoy are behind-the-scenes videos. The girls in the wardrobe room getting makeup done, mm-hmm. trying on the wardrobe, getting out of it. I see a lot of traffic for, you know, guys will say, I love behind-the-scenes videos. I want to see, they'll ask me when I do phone sex a lot of times, they'll talk about my porn experience. They're like, okay, so when you guys are, like, getting ready in the wardrobe, does, like, anyone start to get it on? Do the crew get hard? And there's just they have these fantasies.
Well, those are legitimate questions now. Does that happen?
Yes.
Do you guys get it on? Does the crew get hard? I know the crew gets hard. I would imagine so.
Oh, yes, yes, and yes. Oh,
okay. The crew gets jaded a little.
Yes.
And they sort of have to be, or else they won't get the job done.
Sure.
But we call it behind the scenes, BTS, it's known as.
Yes.
And some of my favorite things I ever shot were BTS and not the movie. And like the last thing I did many, many years ago, I walked into the wardrobe room and I laid out all this wardrobe and I said, all right, you guys, try on this, try on that, take it off, put it on, da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden, the hardcore broke out without any effort because they were turned on by the environment. Right. Those are the good old days, though. Those days are long gone.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if I'll ever make a movie for Adam and Eve again, but I had a lovely history.
But you're a Hall of Famer.
It's, I get on the phone and I call and try to get work, and I'm ridiculously overqualified. You know, they want, like, a company, Zero Tolerance. You've heard of Zero Tolerance. I become friends with the guys who run it. They're a great group. And Quasar Man, one of the greatest gonzo shooters in the world, is a good friend of mine. And you should have him on this show.
Okay.
Yeah. And I can recommend him. And he's super busy. He's making a lot of money. But it's shrinking. The business is shrinking.
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
And you know what they're doing? This is going to blow you away.
All right.
The company I just mentioned, I'm not going to put it in the same sentence, is now buying full-scale scenes for $150.
Oh.
It's rough. It's rough.
Yeah. I was going to say, how do you make money?
It's revenue streams, like I say. I do phone sex. I do sex work. I do videos. I work for producers. I produce my own. I believe you know Kimber Haven. Went on her show that time, I believe. Inappropriate.
Yeah, it was great.
One of the things they do is they call it Bad Girl Mafia is their production company down in Kentucky. They produce all their own stuff.
Great name.
It is a great name. And
it was so much fun, yeah.
At FetCon this year, every year they rent a house or a condo, whatever, and they invite all T-girls to come on, and also male talent, and they just live there over the weekend, and they shoot constantly.
Right.
They're constantly doing pool scenes and you know, gang bangs and you know, the whole nine yards.
Deal, yeah.
You know, I saw one of the videos they shot, and they're in the one room shooting, and in the background you can see two girls in the pool doing it. But long story short is they self-produce that. And they do it all on trade content. So that way, like, for example, when I shot for Groovy a couple weeks ago, I have no rights to any of the footage.
Right.
I got paid, it's gone.
Yeah.
What the Bad Girl Mafia does is their model is it's totally trade work. You get to walk away with your content. Yeah. We walk away with the content.
That's called TFP?
Yes, trade for print.
Trade
TFP. Shoots. Okay. And the thing is that you own it forever, and then you distribute it however you want on a clip site or your own website or your OnlyFans. Right. And that's one of the ways we're making it is you try and find all of these revenue streams to get a little money here and there. One night I'm doing phone sex, I'm making money. Another night I'm doing sex work, and another night I'm producing my own films.
If I may jump in, what is going on in that business, the adult business, is the performers creating and owning their own content.
Yeah.
And then they can put it up on, what is it, Fans Only or Many Vids?
There's
and
dozens
on
of
and
clip
on
sites.
On. Right. Yeah.
I'm on five different clip sites.
Yeah, exactly. And what it is that the diversity of distribution, whether you still might sell some DVDs or you might be on Many Vids or somebody at Groovy, pays you to perform, and you probably have five other income streams like the phone calls. And every person who's surviving in the adult is doing that. I am not a performer, never have been, never will be. So,
damn it.
I want to clear all these microphones out of here and let's rock and roll.
I want to see you go to town. Daddy. Daddy's here. Now, here's the thing. Last time you were on, it was funny because somebody
I don't have a test, though.
Somebody told me, they're like,
we still fool around.
Yeah, actually, it was, I think it was Nicole, our co-host at the time, was like, wow, he knows how to work that daddy thing.
Me?
Yeah, how do you do that?
Sugar daddy.
Do you think so? I don't know. It's not sugar daddy.
No, it's
that
daddy. Oh, it's not sugar daddy.
In my world, it's sugar daddy.
No, but I mean, do you see how he's got that daddy game
going
on? Oh,
definitely he's got the daddy game. Right?
Yeah.
It's too funny.
Where do you get this confidence? Where do you get this daddy game?
Anyway, hey,
how do you go up to a young girl and because I'm always like
you want
to
know skaters you
going up to a young girl
is?
Because I think I'm too old, but then
no. Okay. Statistically, and I'm kind of making this up, but it's been through my experience, one out of five women under 30 love older men.
That's what I'm saying, but
and all you have to do, it's a numbers game. You know, if we had 10 girls in here, I guarantee you one or two would be like after you and me and probably want to do you right here on this stage.
I think probably three or four out of the five.
But it's and that, I guess, might be called a fetish, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. The daddy thing is a fetish.
Yeah. And it's because what is funny, the term daddy has become more and more popular in pop culture. Yeah. You walk down, you know, the street down and back, you'll run into three or four stars, pink shirt, daddy.
Yeah,
it just is. It's kind of funny. It's all over. You don't see mommy.
Well, and in the incest porn world. It's funny because I was thinking about that when I was thinking about topics. Is because I was at the Adult Performers Action Committee the other night.
And okay.
Just like it sounds. It's an association of adult performers. But anyway, we were talking about like incest porn is one of the most requested porns. Now, of course, we're talking.
Why do you think that is?
It's fantasy.
Everybody wants to bang their mother and father.
Now, we also have a debate we were talking about. We're not sure if there's a demand in this and there's a supply being created for it, right, or if there's just so much supply right now that it's almost like that the producers are pumping it out, and that's actually puffing it up.
I think the most popular form of porn is stepmom, stepdad. You know, stepdaughter.
Now, when you do incest porn, are you usually the stepmom, or are you like the dad that kind of went another way,
or you just drive the car?
You drive the car.
I do a lot of the stepmom. For phone sex, for example, I get a lot of calls for the stepmom fantasy. Ah. I love this. We did a shoot. I love this little story. We did a shoot. We did it on Easter in a Vegas hotel room. Okay. Me and another T girl and a trans man, so a female to male.
Okay.
So we got two dicks and we got a vagina, but they're all mixed up on who they're on.
Right.
And what we did was T-Girl MILFs take advantage of stepson. Mm-hmm. And so he basically did I was the aunt and Auntie Casey and, you know, and then his stepmom goes to sleep and him and I start doing it in the one bed and then she wakes up, what's going on here? And then the fun ensues.
Yeah.
It's funny.
That sounds like a good one.
Some sites don't allow you to sell faux incest porn,
Eve is very strict about that.
There you go.
Yeah, they don't want their own employees decide what they want to do or not, mm-hmm. and then they have to bounce it off the lawyers.
Right.
And Phil Harvey, who owns PHE, he's a friend of mine. He's older. He's
got
a millionaire.
A lot of friends.
And
that's the business.
He it's a kind of I don't know how I'd put it. It's preventative. It's what they don't want to get somebody out of Louisiana with a hair up their ass and get sued for $25 million for obscenity. They will prevail. The case will – there's never really been more than one or two convictions in obscenity in like 30 years.
Right.
Supreme Court throws it all out.
Right.
But you will spend $1 million to defend it.
Sure.
Yeah, and you will prevail probably, but that's a lot of money. I know guys who got – there was a guy in town. Remember that – what was it? Two girls in a cup? Remember that? It was about defecation, and it was completely disgusting.
Right. And it was that's a fetish.
It is, and it's a real fetish. And it was a big pop hit. But the guy who made it had to go, I believe he either made that or a similar porno. He had to spend $250,000.
Right.
And he still went to jail for like 2 months.
Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, there are limits, but I'm not going to, I love the United States. I'm not going to tell anybody what they can and cannot watch.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's freedom of speech and expression.
That's one of the reasons a few years ago when in California there was someone pushing, it was Prop 60 at the time, 60.
Right. Oh, boy.
And that was almost a death knell for us because it would have given private citizens a right to sue for porn, adult films that showed porn without a condom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we were like, because we just, all it takes is one private citizen to sue you, and they get your name and they get your address. You got to prove that.
What is amazing about that, though, was that the California voters voted it down.
Oh, it was tough.
It was, yeah, I know it
was a tough fight.
And it was Jimmy Kimmel even dealt with it on his show. I remember that. You know, what's her name? Julia, what's the performer who headed the whole thing.
It's been a few years now.
Yeah, it's been a few years. I can't remember her name.
But it was
she should be on your show.
It was hard. It was difficult.
Well, you got all these friends. Help me out.
One of the reasons it was difficult because the other side of the campaign that wanted to get it passed, they would say, this was their pitch, say no to pornographers.
Right.
Think about what a easy appeal that is. So we fought against it and we fought it off.
Wasn't
luckily.
It the guy who ran the AIDS?
Yes,
thing?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't
and,
even.
Oh,
that's a
man,
whole...
that guy is whatever. I wanted to bring up some other things because
we're running out of time, but go ahead.
This is what's going on with me, real quick. I'm also producing a pilot for cable called Black Widows, and it's about female felons who cut a deal with the CIA to do their dirty work, which is known as wet work.
Right.
That wet work is a term for when you...
Is this based on a true story?
I don't know. Maybe it is. Oh. And wet work is known as a crime that involves blood.
Right.
And I had never heard of the term till a couple of months ago. In the middle of shooting it, I got a huge, huge famous producer just all over me on it. And we're micro budget. We're going to do the movie for under $50,000.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, because that's the new thing now. I have all these friends. Don't spend $250,000 on a movie. You're going to lose your house. You know, that's the thing.
Well, you're
now.
Right. Well, we had
I lost my house years ago.
We had Harley Wallen here last week. He did like four movies this year. I was at his premiere for Eternal Code, which was a lower budget movie, but he's making money off it.
That's the thing. With the new technology, as you know, I mean, look at this little camera you've got.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is stunning. And now it's all 4K.
Right.
And I shoot in 4K now. I own a camera.
Right. You can shoot 4K with an iPhone now.
I know.
Yeah.
It is amazing. And I've seen a lot of really good-looking iPhone movies. When somebody really knows what they're doing,
Steven Soderbergh did an iPhone movie.
Yes, I know.
But Casey, before we go, I'm sorry.
I got one more thing.
I'm going to give me a second because we're going to get right
back
to it.
And I'm going
to
blow your mind.
I know it's a fun-sized episode. I apologize. We know this guy's into women in nylons. What are you into?
Oh, what am I into?
And you're real. I mean, I know you tell everybody what you know. I'm into you, but in your private life, are you into men? Are you into women?
I'm pansexual.
You're pansexual.
As my friend Jasmine LaFleur, she's a cis girl performer.
I know
Jasmine. Oh, nice.
Yes.
Everybody is fair game. It's you know, men, women,
are you dominant?
T-girls.
Are you submissive?
I'm more on the submissive side, not in a dom sub way, but just in a 50s kind of June Cleaver kind of way, in that you know, just take
so
it to
great.
I love how he was talking
who
about
who would have thought KCT girls a June Cleaver missionary sex kind of
I do sugar daddy work where basically it's just like sex work, except he's your sugar daddy, and it's almost like there's this little wall which you know you don't call it what it is. And I love having a good sugar daddy who just wants to take me around and spend time and go
that's
to
why
clubs.
I want
to
be a girl.
Yeah, we're gonna give all your information later. So all the sugar daddies listen nationwide.
Here's...
Hold on, easy, Michael. All the sugar daddies nationwide, you're gonna get your chance. But before we do, Michael's got an announcement that's gonna blow our minds. Are you ready for this, Casey?
Another drum roll.
Mm.
I got hired. I've been writing off and on for years, and I'm actually a little bit like a junior Elmore Leonard. Not bad.
Oh,
I
nice.
Love the street,
okay.
You know, things.
Got
and
it.
Man, through independent producing, I have dealt with everybody, people who come to Hollywood who thinks they know what they're doing and spend $1 or spend $10 million, and it is an unbelievable trip. But I think you know this guy. I got hired to write a book about David Safran.
Okay.
Do you know David, the Bitcoin guy?
Yes.
Yes. And he is, I cannot give legal opinions because he's never been convicted.
Right.
But he's got criminal lawsuits and civil lawsuits against him. This is public knowledge. He won't be able to touch me. And I actually started writing the book a year ago.
Okay.
And then I have gotten to know so many people who, I can't say it, but it's similar to a Ponzi scheme or a pyramid scheme. And they're two different schemes, but they're very parallel.
So you're saying Bitcoin is a pyramid scheme?
No, Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency and it's very real.
Okay.
But the people dealing with it use it like dollars, like Maddox, what was his name, out of New York?
Right.
Yeah, and they scam people.
Yeah,
Bernie Maddox, was his name. He's
You mean Bernie Madoff?
Madoff.
Okay. Right, Madoff. Not Maddox.
Yeah, right.
Bernie Maddox is a friend of mine.
Not anymore.
Well, what a surprise,
Josh Maddox.
So you're gonna be writing a book about.
We're gonna. I'm in the middle of negotiating the deal, and it's gonna be a quickie. You know, it's.
Nice.
I'm not gonna spend 8 years doing it. I want to spend like 2 weeks or 3 weeks and just pound it out, because David is a very close friend of mine, but he's one of the world's greatest storytellers, not in a good way. And he's from Australia, and he's a grandson of Abe Safran, the notorious Australian gangster, who was involved with a lot of disappearances of people, and he's gone.
Right.
He died years ago. But David inherited $700,000 and spent it all in 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was witness to that. And then he lost money. The trust kicked him out. It's all public knowledge. You can go right on Google and read it. And he had to hustle. He slept on my couch for a while. And it was really funny because they were rebuilding the floor of the house.
Yeah.
And there are rats all over in L.A., as you know. Rats have infested Los Angeles. Yeah. And there was one opening, and he was on the couch. And I heard him yell, and I came out 4 in the morning. There were like 15 rats running around the living room looking for food. And he was screaming and yelling, and then he went, God damn it, I even stepped on one. You know, but
he was the food.
Yeah, you never know.
The rats had
anyway, I had an orange tree that they loved.
I can imagine.
But
the
book.
The book, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
And where does the time go? We had to make this a fun size episode, but.
What's a fun size episode?
It's about 45 minutes. But,
okay.
But anyway, Casey, always a delight.
Oh, thank you,
Mark. Now, tell all the sugar daddies and prospective sugar daddies where they can find you and your fans, and people can see you. And,
sure.
And in your Twitter. Which has...
The best place to follow me on is on Twitter, and my Twitter is at @KCTSDate, KACYTSDATE.
Right.
I'm on Instagram. That's where I hold my modeling portfolio, mm-hmm. and that is just like it sounds, Casey T Girl, KACYTGIRL.
Mm-hmm.
They can find me on ManyVids at manyvids.kctgirl.com. And definitely please look out for me on tgirl40.com, TGIRL40.com.
Yeah.
Because that two sets will be coming out. One, I'm in some nice red fishnet crotchless stockings.
Look out.
Yep.
Look out.
Other one I'm in, actually, I think I'm in black lace top thigh highs as well.
Look out. And so look out, man.
Go find me there. Sign up and comment that you want to see more of me because I am a capitalist whore and I will do anything to make money.
That's pretty
funny. We want to see more of you. Thank you, Casey, for being on. And Michael, tell us how people get a hold of you and once again, all the stuff you got going on.
A lot of people know me. You can get my number. I'm on Facebook, Michael Simmons. And I've got a new Nylon Girls Facebook page starting to promote the Nylon Girls documentary.
Okay, great.
Which is real close to being finished. And I'm going to go home and drink this Coca-Cola and probably edit till 3 in the morning.
Okay.
So, and then I've got the
book. Well, you're going to go to Ralph's and get her some hose.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Thank you, Mark, for having us.
Oh, it was a terrific show. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Goodbye.